do is to draw the diagram for the decimal numbers you want.
Yeah, because this one doesn't accept decimal numbers. A few other machines accept.
This one doesn't accept ones with exponents after them, which is another thing. You could, if you were continuing this, you'd have actually a place here where you could say E, and then...
Some programming languages, so you can't start numbers smaller than one, they start with dot digits. They don't start with the digit first. They simply start dot...
Well, this one requires zero at least before the dot,
yeah.
Or something before the dot.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's not universal.
It's not universal, no, but it's a good place to discuss all those differences and to say, is this what you mean by decimal number or is that one? And if you say, this is what we mean by decimal number, then if you give me any decimal number, we can test it, because we can not only... use it to output, we can use the decimal number to try and find a way through here and see if we can get to the end using that number.
What is the definition of E? Only 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and no...
We have to define D separately, and we define them that way. And there's another kind of number that you wouldn't normally write down, which you could write down with this. Are any of those digits you just said special? We could write 1,000 zeros, 0.0, if we wanted to here. We could write lots and lots of leading zeros. So typically a real definition won't have D there. It'll have, which I'm taking to mean 0 to 9, it would have 1 to 9 there, and then these things for the rest of it.
But for the rest, if you don't have 1 to 9 and 2 path, then what if you have a 0 point something?
Well, then you'd have to put another path through to allow that. So you see that even just discussing what's a decimal number, we can see there's lots of decisions that have to be made. There's lots of places where people could differ. And if your program assumes that, no one will ever start a number with a million zeros, and then somebody does, or somebody else writes a program that does, then it breaks your program. So these are useful things to do. Okay? I don't even want to have the discussion about what's a decimal number. I want to have the discussion about what kind of tools could we use to discuss what's a decimal number, and I want to convince you that this would be a good tool for such a discussion. Yeah.
When I now think about having computer language numbers of large number of leading zeros could sometimes be necessary. For example, if you have a subtraction in binary, you would end up with many zeros at the front.
Typically, when you're using those systems, then you have a fixed number of bits and you'll use all of them, but it might be 64 digits.
Yeah, but if you have two large numbers, you subtract them. In computer language, the number of digits doesn't change in the binary level.
That's right. So those numbers you might want to define differently.
You could get the large number of leading zeros in that case.
You could. Yep. And we'd all know what it meant. But the computers might not if they hadn't been probed to. Okay, so we've seen a few finite state machines. And now I want you to think a little bit differently. A finite state machine has a starting state, which I've done with this white blob in the middle, and an ending state, which I've done with this green blob in the middle. And you could have more than one ending state. But if you did, you could always just have one ending state and have some of those skips just going from all of the things you thought were ending states to that. So we might as well just have one ending state, one starting, but you could do it either way. So what I want you to think about is, if I take two of these things, how can I make new ones out of the old ones? Okay. So for instance, if this represented streets, street names. So when you've gone through that, it's a street name. Okay? Could be telephone number, could be. Let's say street name for the moment. And this represents a city name.
And we're just going to generate random addresses. We're not going to worry about whether the street actually happens to be in that city or not. How would I make a machine that generates a street name followed by a city name? Or if you want to think of it differently, if this generated first names and this generated second names, we want to make random names of characters, which will be take a first name, then take a second name. We've got a machine that will produce first names. So it'll go through here and a first name's come out. We've got a machine that will produce second name. We start there and a second name will come out.
How would we glue these together to be able to... What? Sorry?
Would, for example, feed in the first one in every line in the second one.
Well, you see, we've got... We don't know what path's going to happen through here, but we're going to start here. And we go through here and we've produced a first name. And now we want to produce a second name. So what do we have to do? We just have to go to here and start there and go through here somehow and produce a second name. Maybe if we wanted to have a gap between the two, we'd make it so that when we go from here to here, we actually produce a space. But if we're just thinking more generally, it's probably better just to think of taking these two machines and putting them together with a new machine. This is the end state of the new machine. This is the start state of the new machine. And the way the new machine works is to skip into the first machine, and then we glue these together. We say when you get to the end, you just skip to the beginning of the second machine, and then you skip out here. So if the first machine produces R's, whether they be street names, and the second machine produces city names, or the first machine produces first names, and the second produces last names, or whatever you want to glue together, you want to say one of these followed by one of those, then if we have a machine to make one of these and we have another machine to make one of those, then this machine produces one of these followed by one of those. Yep, question, there was a question.
See, for the machines, is there any rules about what they can take in as inputs?
There's, when you define one, you're normally thinking of what it takes as inputs, but these ones, we're not even thinking about inputs. We're actually thinking of when you go down a path, you may output something. And we're thinking of the sequence of things that get output.
The beginning of the second one, if you're linking them like that, but the first machine doesn't accept the type. So.
But the first machine, they're not passing any information here,
okay, so that's
right? There's no information. That's part of the finite state machine. It's really, really, really simple. There's no information passing from the first one to the second one. All that happens is this does its job by which time it will have written the first name out